state that did more on this issue than the Capital Journal.
And, well, that open sure. record, that open record saying the law
absolutely.
Says that they did.
Absolutely. But we've had a changing of the guard, apparently, at Schools for Fair Funding.
Well, not with the attorneys. There's this attorney, John Robb, that's been there. I've actually looked at all the different.
Now, John Robb, was he the point man before?
Well, he was one of the attorneys.
Okay.
I don't have all the notes.
Okay.
It is kind of interesting. The superintendents kind of come and go in the different school districts, so there hasn't been strong leadership from the school district standpoint that, you know, it's these people that are pushing for it.
Okay. All right. Now, there's only four school districts. Topeka's not involved, and none of our school districts in Shawnee County are involved in the suit. As of yet.
Well, another report, and I didn't bring this with me, indicated there's something like 72 school districts involved. So there's four primary. I don't quite understand yet these four that are going to be complainants, I guess, versus the full list of 72. So that's I got to study that a little bit
yeah.
more.
And here's the issue, folks, that really just it troubles me. This whole school finance issue. You know, our Supreme Court. To me, their role should be, if they think our funding mechanism is inequitable, they should step up to the plate. You know, if they think that our formula that we've come up with on funding education throughout the state of Kansas, if we've got some child in Hill City that's being penalized in favor of a child in Blue Valley, Johnson County, you know, the Supreme Court should step in. But getting into the level of funding, this is not a Supreme Court. This is out of their bailiwick. Now we're into a legislative agenda as opposed to a judicial.
Well, it's the power of the purse, and you want that closer to the people. So
absolutely. John Arnold, your thoughts.
Well, I think the Supreme Court probably was presented with a set of circumstances that by the attorneys for Fair Funding Group that said that we are treating some kids in the state unequally and unfairly as a consequence because of the funding situation. And that's a constitutional issue, the issue the Supreme Court should get into. But then they decided the question based on saying, okay, this is the way the money ought to be expended. And a lot of people could say, well, that's an activist judge going too far, as you say, Jim. But I don't have a problem with the Supreme Court saying, okay, here is the solution to the problem, and here's what we need to do. Now, whether they should have sent that back to the legislature and said, this is what you need to do. Well, actually, I think that's what they did, didn't they?
Well, but one of the problems, John, is we're arguing over the word suitable when we haven't really defined what education means.
That's true.
And if you compare, like, what education means in the United States versus what education... I mean, talk to some foreign exchange students at high schools, and they'll tell you how vastly different. We have all sorts of things that are included in our education that are more recreational or sports activities in their areas, and they're funded differently. So we just keep adding and adding to what education means.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, maybe that's the way the issue ought to be framed, Earl, that we ought to define exactly what education is.
But I don't think anybody wants to do that, though. So.
Is that the problem?
I think Kay O'Connor in Olathe was a state senator a few years ago, tried to define that, and I don't remember the details, but it seems like she got beat up on for that.
Yeah. Well, you get back, people say, well, the education is the three R's, you know, and
yeah.
You get that this is a modern world where we've got a lot of technology, and that's part of it. Some of the things that are going on in the Blue Valley schools, for example, I think I mentioned before, tremendous occupational benefits going forward for those kids. Now, are they offering the same thing in Hayes or Goodland or Colby? I have no idea. But I doubt it, just because the funding isn't quite the same as in Blue Valley.
True. Well, the resources, and we need to somehow have the way through either the internet or whatever to have some remote classes, perhaps. They're doing that, I think, for some homeschools, but it seems like even public schools could take it. If you want to take Chinese and you're out in western Kansas, there ought to be a way for you to do that.
Yeah, I think they're doing that. I think Fort Hays State College is university is doing a vast amount of that, from what I understand. I don't know about the high schools, whether they're doing it at that level or not, but...
Well, there's something going on in Lawrence. I don't know the details, but
okay.
That they're set up, I think, mostly to help homeschools, but they do other things like that, too.
Okay, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about this issue.
Oh, this will, well, especially the election consequence. That's why I'm still trying to sort that out.
All right, John Arnold.
Sir.
Pick a topic.
Well, I'm still concerned about the Big 12 and the sports world that's out there, and the fact that we pay our athletic director at the University of Kansas and KC for that much, for that reason, more than we pay the university presidents.
Yeah.
I just think that's wrong.
I agree.
I mean, if you want anything to tell you that we have our priorities screwed up, it's that right there. So Lou Perkins should have to report to the chancellor of the university.
Lou Perkins ought to have to report to this parole officer. I don't understand why the chancellor of KU still has this guy on the payroll. He's either got to be the stupidest individual that's ever served as an athletic director anywhere, or he's got to be the most crooked. You can't walk away for that many years with that much money without him having some degree of awareness of what was going on.
Particularly.
If he had no degree of awareness, the guy ought to be out of a job because of just sheer incompetency. There is no defending this guy. I don't get it.
Yep, I'm with you.
Well, and there's something strange going on at K-State, and I am a K-Stater. I graduated from K-State, but they set up a nonprofit there. I study nonprofits a lot, and so they have an, and I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but they set up a nonprofit. They file an IRS 990 that they have to explain how they spend their money. They have to explain where they get it. But each of the coaches there has a separate LLC or for-profit corporation, and you can't find out who's getting the money unless you call the Secretary of State's office. So they don't have that word transparency. You can't say that this coach or that coach is getting the money, but that's what's happening. So they send all this money through the nonprofit to pay the coaches, and it's just not clear what's going on. I've looked at KU's, and they're at least much more upfront about it. They put the names of the people. They do kind of the same thing, but it's very clear who the money's going to then.
Well, the previous athletic director for K-State was an incompetent boob as well.
But that $4 million is what I was researching that the Prince got.
Yeah, but he wasn't knocking down $4 million a year in salaries.
But he did at the end. He got $4 million payoff when he left, so that's all funneled through these nonprofits.
And he was married to a veneer?
That I don't remember.
Yeah, he was very well connected to K-State in terms of his wife. His father, the number one or number two contributor for K-State Athletics.
I should call you, Jim, for these things. I missed that.
Well, that's the connection. All right.
Well, it's obvious that both of those schools are just out of control in terms of the athletic department budgets and not being, but beyond being transparent, they are not, as Earl just said, but also, they're just out of control. I mean, there's no way anyone in the state would say this makes sense to pay Lou Perkins and what's the athletic director at K-State now?
Kraus.
Curry?
Oh, Curry, yeah.
Curry, yeah. Kraus was the other guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Pay him that much money. I mean, that's it's just incredible.
But there's a bigger problem just on this whole Big 12 issue that you know, money for TV sports seems to be driving everything,
and that's true.
And education seems to be secondary.
Exactly. And it was when I first got a letter from the Williams Fund at KU saying about my account that I made a call to them and said I didn't know I had an account. And I said, it's probably because I made small contributions to the public administration department and to the band over the years. No, that doesn't count, they said. You got to make them to the athletic department.
It's not real.
What? Contributions to the university are not counted the same as contributions to the athletic department. That's right. They don't count for seat priorities. Holy cow. That just put me off completely. That's incredible. And I've wrote a couple of columns on it, and I had people talk to me say the same thing. And a few said, you know, my father had seats for 40 years. They wanted him to pay $80,000 to continue to have those seats. And he's at the point in time in his life where he's about ready to leave something in his estate, and he was thinking about KU, and he's now said, the heck with it.
Somebody else is going to get that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Is it time for the NCAA to create a commissioner position? Because it just seems everything, you know, in terms of Division I athletics appears to be so wildly out of control and has been for so many years.
It's getting worse.
Yeah, and I go back, you know, just to the basic recruitment. You know, the thugs like Lawrence Phillips that played for Nebraska.
Sure.
That drug a gal down three flights of stairs, beat her beyond recognition. Tom Osborne suspends him for two games. The third game, this guy takes the field at Lincoln and gets a standing ovation.
Something
because
wrong.
This thug, you know, can run for 1,000 yards a year. And Lawrence Phillips, thank God, he's sitting at a California prison today. They finally nailed him. But, you know, the coaches, there's so much pressure on these coaches to win. You know, on an individual, campus-by-campus level, we're to the point now we've got to have, I think, this commissioner, NCAA commissioner, that basically is going to dictate, you know, from up on high, that if you've got an athlete that becomes this convicted felon, what have you, they will no longer suit up for anybody anywhere, period. To start cleaning up, you know, college athletics as far as the type of persons that we're recruiting.
Some role models, perhaps, huh?
That would be unique. But the same thing applies, you know, in terms of the money situations. Now we've got Texas that has held a gun to KU, K-State, Iowa State, Missouri, and Baylor's head. And said, I know we're supposed to be divvying up this money equally that Nebraska and Colorado are leaving behind. Why don't you give it all to us, and we'll hang around for another year or two. Again, K-State has, they've got these other five schools, especially Northern Conference schools, over a barrel. But if we don't have a commissioner at the top to clean up these type of messes, I can't see that anything's going to improve.
No strong leadership there without that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I think the problem, Jim, is that the schools and conferences don't want to give up their autonomy to somebody else, and so they're not going to support something like that.
You're right.
But the biggest problem is I don't really see we need the commissioner so much as we need university presidents to have some guts and do what they need to do.
John, there's too much money. That's unrealistic.
Well,
there's too much money out there not to recruit the Lawrence Phillipses of the world that's going to put 80,000 people.
But the money only goes to the athletic departments. That's what bugs me. Why wouldn't the president say, look, we have a certain ethical and integrity issue here, and so we're not going to let it just go to the athletic department.
Ethics and integrity, where have you been? I'll go back to Keith Olbermann. Where have you been for the past 57 months? I mean, we're talking about big-time college athletics.
I know. But
ethics, integrity?
Your university president, you would expect that they would have something in their value system that would say that's part of what we need to instill in the university.
I contend that half of our university presidents would sell their mother into the sex slave trafficking if that was going to produce two more victories for football or basketball.
We hope not, Jim.
Well, I don't know. A little cynical, I suppose.
Just a little.
All right. You know, throughout all this, just speculation, because I was following this whole Big 12 story in the Vegas paper.
Sure.
Because that's the home of the Mountain West. That's
right.
Where the commissioner is, the whole nine yards. And basically, the Mountain West, what the Vegas paper was saying, K-State was headed to the Mountain West. Done deal. Accepted the offer of the whole nine yards if the Big 12 folded. The Vegas paper was saying, we hope that KU is going to follow. In other words, KU hadn't committed to anybody because they were taking a look at other options. But K-State, KU, there were options out there available. Missouri, I'm sure there were. We're just not hearing about them.
For the Big Ten. They were a rumor for the Big Ten for the longest time.
Yeah. But poor Iowa State. Where were they headed, in your opinion, Earl Glenn, John Arnold? Who was going to pick up poor Iowa State?
Sports is not my forte here, so I'll have to.
They would have had a tough time, there's no question. I liked, there was a comment made this past week, Jim, by T. Boone Pickens. He was on some program and talking about different things, and one of the things he talked about was the Big 12. And he said he thought that this is a good deal that we've done in the Big 12, or the conference formerly known as the Big 12. And he talked about everybody, how they would benefit, and then he said, well, except for maybe Missouri. But then he said, but who cares about Missouri?
I never heard an explanation of why he singled Missouri out. That was kind of a curious comment.
Well, it was just kind of one of his non sequiturs, I think, that he just tossed in.
He just kind of pulled it out of thin air?
He wasn't asked a question about Missouri, he just added it in. I
guess it could have been a Kansas school, so maybe we shouldn't complain.
Could have been.
Well, there's some speculation that if Oklahoma State and the Southern Division schools, if they would have gone to the Pac-10, then KU was left without a home, so to speak. And the speculation was T. Boone Pickens was once again going to open up his checkbook and say, Bill Self, why don't you come back to your alma mater?
Oh.
You fill in the amount. and that way you can stay in a major conference. So,
well, that's a good thought. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But I think the conference formerly known as the Big 12 is really going to benefit from all of this. Because I just think the fact that we're going to be playing round robin in both basketball and football is really important. I never liked the idea that you only played Texas every other year if you're from the north, and they only played Nebraska every other year from Texas. I just think that's wrong.
Now, I'm going to like the idea of getting back into big-time college athletics, at least when some conference somewhere comes up with a rule that if you're caught breaking into a Taco Bell at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can at least you have to sit out for
maybe the whole season.
Chalk talk, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of leave that to the coaches and the coaches.
Hey, we're just about out of time again. My issue, I had Peggy Mast on the show Monday along with Kirk Sowers and Kamal Saleem, who's written a book. You know, we were talking about terrorism in the Midwest, terrorism in America, and we veered off course, as we often do on the show, and we were talking about the war. We were talking about George W. Bush and Obama, two individuals could have screwed this country up so badly back-to-back, but they have. But the whole war effort, as far as going into Iraq, was this a recruiting tool, you know, for the Islam extremist, and is the same thing happening in Afghanistan? Because General McChrystal made the statement a couple of days ago. Folks, we've been in Afghanistan now for several years, and it looks like we have fought to a draw. A draw. Right back to where Britain was when they attempted to clean up Afghanistan, right back to where
Soviets.
Russia was when they attempted to clean this country up, and now we're fighting to a draw. 1,000 Americans have now come home in a body bag out of Afghanistan. Your thoughts on the war, is this going to be an issue this year? Because, by the way, the invasion of Iraq, folks, is now officially the longest war this country of ours has ever been involved in. We're close to 5,000 dead Americans have come home from Iraq in a body bag. But issue in November, or is it the economy, stupid?
Yeah. Well, I'd say the economy is still the primary issue, but there's still a group. I was almost attended this just to see who was there, but there was an anti-war rally on the plaza here recently. There's some people that still haven't forgotten it as an issue, so it's still out there.
I agree with both. I think the economy in November will still be the big issue, but the war is more and more an issue, and the idea that you can overwhelm a society that's based on tribal relationships by some kind of army is just silly. I mean,
you sure can't infiltrate that with the tribes.
No, and you know, I wanted to send George W. Bush, when he was going into Iraq, a copy of the movie Lawrence of Arabia, and because through all that movie, Lawrence was uniting the tribes to fight against who were they fighting against?
Boy, I don't remember.
World War One, so I suppose. I don't know what I should know. But finally they defeated whoever they were fighting against in this one city, and then all the tribes came together, and they sat there and they said, okay, now we need to organize our government, and they all started fighting each other. And they went back to the tribal animosity that it existed, you know, and that's the Middle East. It goes back to 1300 or something like that, you know, when they had these kinds of animosities. And you've got it in Afghanistan, and an army can't overcome that, can't make them get along.
Can't make a cultural change.
By the way, I need to break in here because we're about out of time. We've got to go to our emails, jim.cates@cgonline.com. This one's from Ken, and Ken is taking me on again. Every time I mention Lawrence Phillips, Ken is a Nebraska fan, and I understand that. I picked Lawrence Phillips because to me he's the poster person of what a thug at college athletics is. But there are a lot of other Lawrence Phillipses, and folks, I keep talking about this Nebraska story, and I do so because this could happen on any campus anywhere. It's not that Nebraska fans are any worse than Missouri, KU, K-State fans. If we had somebody, an O.J. Simpson, that could run for 2,000 yards at K-State, unfortunately our Manhattan fans would give that thug a standing ovation. But at any rate, I want to read Ken's email says, Jim, I wouldn't get quite so angry about your Lawrence Phillips rhetoric if you would stay a bit closer to fact and not be so free with your exaggeration, or if you could occasionally find at least one other example of what college sports angers you. But I must admit that Paul Harvey crafted a very nice broadcast career by never letting fact get in the way of a good story. Ken, thank you so much. And Terrence brings up something. You know, Jim, how about renaming the Big 12 the Top 10? Well, you know, it's interesting because now the Big 12 Conference has 10 teams.
And the Big 10 has
12 teams.
some weird. It doesn't have to make sense.
Somebody suggested that we should call the Big 12, the new name should be like following the model of Prince. When he changed his name to Asterix and different symbols, say the artist formerly known as Prince, the conference formerly known as the Big 12.
What was that all about? You know, I've seen that in print recently, as far as the asterix and the whole nine yards, as far as Prince renaming himself, itself, into... What does all of that mean, John Arnold?
I have no idea. I never did understand it. Didn't care enough about Prince to try to
figure
it out.
It's probably marketing.
Well, some kind of marketing, but yeah. You know, when you have a name like Prince, why do you go with a name that you can't pronounce?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that volcano in Iceland.
Yeah, nobody can say that either.
Have you ever had that figured out?
I can't spell it either. I'd have to look it up.
I will give Prince some credit. I had one of these backup singers on the show several years ago, Vanity, and Vanity, she's a foxy little devil, let me tell you, and she broke away from Prince. She's had a couple of hit records on her own. Like to have more people like that on the show.
There you go. John, we just don't qualify, do we?
No, that's exactly right. We're not foxy.
I'll direct to that later.
Jim, one thing I'd like to ask, you two guys who know everything, Nebraska says they want to go to the Big Ten because, their president said, research dollars will be easier to come by.
Boy, that's curious.
And I sat there and I thought, how does a sports conference help you with research dollars? I don't understand that at all.
I don't get that either, John.
My wife has tried to explain this to me on several occasions, and I'm just too dense to grasp it. But if there are legitimate research dollars out there as a result of the Big Ten's educational standing. They've got a shared library program.
The shared library I heard about.
Yeah,
okay.
Which also helps with getting some of this grant money coming into Big Ten institutions.
But there's research grants to a conference somehow?
Virtue of being a member of the Big Ten.
I guess you could write
that
up here.
Opens the door for grants that you wouldn't normally have access to as a member of the Big 12.
But they could write a grant proposal that anybody in the conference could participate, I suppose. I just hadn't heard of this. So.
Yeah.
If I were a granting agency, a nonprofit with millions and billions of dollars to give money away, I think a football and basketball, a sports conference, would not mean a thing.
Exactly.
To me in terms of whether I should give money to that institution or those institutions. If they could ally, you know. Why cannot a University of Cincinnati ally with Ohio State and pull down research money to do a particular job, just as well as Ohio State and Michigan State, if they could ever get together? So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
You go with where the specialists are, I'd think so.
It's what, Errol?
You'd go with where the specialists are for the research.
Well, that's what I'd think, yeah. And they would know better than anybody else, who else is a specialist that they want to ally with in doing this particular job. And
agriculture, K-State and Iowa State, they could probably team up. But
absolutely.
I'm not sure KU wanted to. That's not one of their strengths.
Yeah, it remains to be seen whether Nebraska is going to benefit from moving to the Big Ten. I kind of don't think they will. But
well, there are some academic dollars out there, and again, I don't understand it, and I'll have to have Nancy explain it to me again.
Try it again.
Yeah, try it one more time. But there's about $20 million a year apparently at play.
Really?
Academic money, it's a huge...
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a huge figure. And again, it's by virtue of having that Big Ten moniker as opposed to the Big 12, so... Yeah.
Yeah, it's really very true.
John Arnold, you got a blog coming up?
Yeah, I will have. I have to put something together. I haven't done it yet, though.
Okay. Nothing definitive as far as what the topic's going to be between now and Friday? You'll just have one?
No.
All right.
At this point.
Earl Glenn.
And I'd like to plug the story about the 527s is on our website, kansaswatchdog.org.
Kansaswatchdog.org, huh?
And you can read all about it there, the very detailed. And you can look at all the IRS documents. I try to put everything there so you can decide for yourself what it all means.
Okay, and Kansas, spell out Kansas.
Fully KansasWatchdog.org.
Okay, and again, we'll see you in
3 weeks.
In 3 weeks, Dave Jackson. Well, he's not here yet, so I guess we've got a couple of other. Well, we've got a couple of minutes to kill waiting for Dave. Anything else that we didn't cover?
Well, one thing I'd like to kind of a kudos for Topeka. Kansas City, KCTV5 in Kansas City has been doing a series on homeless in Kansas, and in particular their initial focus is Wyandotte County. And they told a very touching story of a young girl in high school that lived out of her car and went to high school, and it's just, you know, it's just a tear-jerking story. But then they went into details just last night comparing what Wyandotte County has versus Topeka. And Topeka has their Topeka Rescue Mission, where it's not a government program, but they get $2 million in just local donations to help the homeless, and it's a model that other people need to adopt. So Topeka has this great resource, and Wyandotte County doesn't have anything that's like that at all, and they need it. So
Barry Feaker is our executive director of the Rescue Mission.
So Topeka really...
He's done a nice job.
Shining example there for that.
Well, Dave Jackson just walked in. So, John, we will see you next week, my friend.
You got it. Thank you, Jim.
All right. And Earl, we'll see you in 3 weeks. What are you going to be working on?
Issues, things like that, since that's coming up.
Okay. Well, I've got one on break. This is kind of an interesting one. You and I can talk about this one.
Yeah, exactly.
While we're on break. And Dave Jackson on deck. Folks, stay tuned.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Freudenhaus, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Foss line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150. or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okie dokie, we are back. Hey, coming up Monday morning, Bob Beatty is going to be on the show. We're going to be talking about politics on the state and national level. You don't want to miss that one. No, indeed not. And preceding that, we've got Tim Richer. He'll be with us from 8 to 9 talking about local issues. So it's all coming up Monday morning on the Jim Cade Show. Next Friday, who do we have coming on next Friday? I don't think we've got anybody yet. But we'll work on it next week. Good morning. Well, you'll be on next Friday, Dave Jackson.
At 10 o'clock. I sure will.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How are you doing this morning?
All righty. Just doing well. We're...
You were out of town last week.
Wasn't that great?
You went to the symphony in the Flint Hills.
We did.
I wanted to ask John Arnold. I forgot to ask John when he was on last hour because he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Our next door neighbors, they went.
Did they?
I think we might have been, one of the few people that didn't go. We've never gone to it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh,
no.
Well, next year you've got to go because it's right close in Waubonsie County. You have to get your tickets within about 2 hours of when they're released because they sell out right away.
How big of a crowd?
Oh, about 8,000. It's a whole hillside full. They pick a pasture where the people sit on a slope that and face north, usually because it's in the early evening, and then they put a big sound. The orchestra has a sound thing behind it. Then they drove about during the concert behind that where the orchestra is on the south face of the bowl. It's in a big bowl, of course, and there's lots of those in the Flint Hills. They drove had a little cattle drive. They drove, I think, about 250 cows across behind while the orchestra was playing. You can't hear the cows because it's, even though it looks like they're close, the distances are such that those were probably half a mile away. But you could, it's pretty majestic what they do. And it's a pretty big production what they do. How do you get into it?
Where do you go? Admire, jump off the turnpike at Admire, and then work your way into wherever this is? Or?
It's a different place every year because they don't want to destroy the prairie. So it's different in a different location. This year it was 8.5 miles west of Bazaar, Kansas. Bazaar is halfway between Matfield Green, Cottonwood Falls.
Okay.
And there's a little schoolhouse on the highway there, and we turned right. Went on a county road that was a pretty good county road for 7 or 8 miles, and then on a one-lane Coin Creek road for about a mile back into the pasture. And the people, I guess, are fairly well-to-do, and they donate the use of 1,000 acres of pasture there for that event.
Wow. Traffic getting in and out of there.
Getting in is not a problem. You go early
Do you have vendors as far as?
Oh, yeah.
So they've got the tent set up for beer sales the whole 9 yards.
Right. And that's the bad news. The beer line gets pretty doggone long.
Yeah.
But Puffy's provided the barbecue for the meal. The meal is part of your, you can buy tokens, and then you can buy, for $8, you can buy a barbecue meal.
And eat where? On the ground?
There's a huge tent set up. Tables and chairs.
Oh, okay.
Huge tents.
Okay.
And so you're on kind of on your own. You can either walk in, you park near the road, of course, and then you walk in. It was about a 3/4 mile walk in, or you can ride wagons. They got shuttle wagons going in and out.
Uh-huh.
And then when you get out there, there were five tents that provided information about the history of the area, the Flint Hills, the animals there, the effect that the railroad had, cowboy kinds of things, horses, all of that kind of stuff, just the whole background. These speeches were topics were each 20 to 25 minutes long, and you could rotate through the different five tents and cover probably 20 different subjects if you wanted. And those went from 1 to 5, basically, or 2 to 5. Can't remember which. And it provides the background, especially to the people that come in from Kansas City.
1 to 5 in the afternoon?
Yeah, intense. 2 to 5, actually, I think.
Now, what time's the concert?
The concert was 6:45 nominally. It started at 7. Was over with at 8:45 or something.
But you can get there as early as 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. That's when the gates open.
Good night. You would have had a lot of people fairly juiced up getting there at 1.
Not with the line for the beer.
That wasn't going to happen. Can you bring coolers in?
You could, but you can't bring your own beer in or something. They do check the coolers at the gate.
And you can't bring beer in?
Can't bring beer in.
They're selling beer for what? How much?
$2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
no, maybe
bad.
It was $4. I don't know.
Well,
a lot less than Royals.
Huh?
A lot less than the Royals.
Now, even at $4, that's not that bad for an event such as this.
I think it's $4, right. Yeah, to bring it all the way into the pasture.
More Sedgwick Countyans there than Shawnee Countyans, taking a look at the license plates. Who goes to this? Because it's getting to be a huge event.
Well, it is.
As you say.
And, of course, the symphony does have its followings. But people were there from all over. Ray Merrick was there.
Now, symphonies, this symphony was out of where?
This is Kansas City Symphony.
The Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that is a professional symphony. Those people, those musicians, are on a. That's their job. It's not a volunteer outfit. And I can't remember the guy that sang. He's kind of a country and western singer that also did a couple pieces.
Out of Wichita, and I have heard his name.
Trev.
Well, I saw the name in print and I recognized it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize it. I didn't think he was all that great a singer, at least for the venue that he was singing in front of. Maybe he'd have been better strumming his guitar with the country and western band rather than the symphony, but.
Yeah.
Lyle Trevitt. I don't know what it was.
But, again, license plates.
All over.
Johnson County.
Well, there's a lot of Johnson County.
Sedgwick.
Yeah, a lot of Johnson County.
Really?
Yeah. Lots of those.
Huh.
And then, but. You know, all over, come up from, Sedgwick is Wichita. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. And some from out of state. Not many, but some. The trick is getting out of there, of course. They didn't have a real good plan for that. And the people that came with, that were Herrick's friends that we were with out there, we didn't, they left before the final singing of Home on the Range. They left just before that. The symphony was done, but then we had that final singing. They were able to get out. They were back in Overland Park before we even got out of the parking lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were about an hour and a half just trying to get out of the parking lot.
Good.
Now, fortunately, we were camped at Marion Lake, and we once we got out of that, off of that one-lane dirt road, we turned and went the other direction and took a dirt road to the west and out to the north to get back to Marion, so we weren't tied up in any traffic going into Cottonwood Falls then and all that other kind of stuff.
Do they have overnight camping right there on site?
Nope.
Don't do that.
Uh-uh. No overnight camping. The thing's not open at all until...
So they want everybody out of there, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The less damage to the prairie... that's one of their goals.
Huh. Interesting as can be.
It was.
This has been going on for 10 years.
This was the fifth year.
Fifth year.
This was the fifth year. Okay. And like I said, I saw, of course, Sam Brown back was there and talked to him, and Ray Merrick, Representative Ray Merrick.
Uh-huh. Out of Johnson County.
Yeah. Senator Pugh was there. No longer senator.
Ed Pugh, he's out of Wambego,
right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, saw quite a few people we knew. Lots of customers.
Yeah. Interesting as can be.
It is.
Yeah, next
it
year.
Really was.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll go again next year. We've seen it now and liked it, but it kind of depends on the camping opportunity, and that's why we went, really. We were able to find a spot on Lake Marion, a Corps of Engineers campground with our...
I'm surprised Nancy hasn't put more heat on me.
Me too.
To go.
Right.
Do they serve wine? Do they have...
Yes. Oh, sure.
What? I'm really surprised that she hasn't put more hasn't put more heat on me.
Huh. Right.
Interesting. Okay, when we come back, we can talk about the prairie if you want. Or we can talk about local gardening.
Okay.
We can do whatever.
Let's do that.
It's your hour. Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. If you have any questions, folks, jim.cates@cjonline.com. Stay tuned.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Freudenhaus, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Foss line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at cjonline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we're back. Jim.cates@cjonline.com. Ken emailed us on a statement Timu Pickens made. This was last hour's conversation. Nebraska leaving the Big 12. And
T. Boone Pickens had something to say about Nebraska leaving
the
Big 12?
Yeah, had something to say about Missouri as well. And but we'll get into that.
Well, he's an Oklahoma State guy. So.
Yes. And a lot of, you know, there was speculation that if, in fact, the Big 12 South would have bolted, gone to the Pac-10 or the Pac-12 or whatever they're calling it now, that T. Boone Pickens once again would have tried to have allured Bill Self to come back home, because Bill Self is an Oklahoma State grad. He's an Oklahoma State alum, and T. Boone's made the offer once to Bill Self. He just opened up his checkbook and said, you fill in the amount.
Right.
I want you to come back home.
Right.
And if KU would have been out there in the lurch, you know, it would have been a possibility. KU could have lost to Bill Self.
Sure.
So, another interesting twist to that whole Big 12 story. But a real quick question before we get into gardening. You know, taking a look at, and I've talked about it on the air for the past several days, that I was following this story through the Las Vegas paper. And basically the Vegas paper was saying that K-State is coming to the Mountain West if the Big 12 crumbles. Big State had made the commitment. They were gone.
I'll be darned.
And they said they were hoping that KU was coming along. In other words, KU had made no commitment.
Mm-hmm.
K-State gone, which would have been an exciting conference. Because the Mountain West has 5 of the top 50 TV markets are actually in the Mountain West. So,
really?
Yes. Strong conference in that respect.
Well, Colorado State's in that conference, isn't they? And they,
Brigham Young.
Right.
Is in it. UNLV
right.
is in it. And New Mexico is in it. So you've got UNLV, they're number 39 in terms of national TV rankings.
Hmm.
Albuquerque's in the top 45 somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Denver. So you've touched 5 of the top 50.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting as could be. Yeah. But at any rate, in your opinion, if the Big 12 would have crumbled, KU was going to have several options to look at, possibly Big East basketball, who knows. Where was Iowa State headed?
Jeez.
They were the odd school out, I think.
They really were. They would have really had nowhere to go but the Missouri Valley, wouldn't they? Or whatever that's called.
Maybe so, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, this thing isn't over, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
Lord, no. Well, they had to bribe Texas to stay on board. Because the money that was supposed to come back to the Big Ten as a result of Nebraska and Colorado leaving the conference, basically MU, Iowa State, KU, K-State, Baylor had to give up their share of the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to give it to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And a little of it went to Oklahoma as well.
Mm-hmm.
To bribe them to keep them in the conference.
Might as well. I mean, well, and but it makes sense. So. It's okay, I guess. It's all,
it's more of an imbalance, though.
Right, true.
I mean, if you're giving your money to Texas just to keep them in the conference, that gives Texas even more of a competitive edge than they had before. And the same with Oklahoma.
Well, true. But neither of those schools had an awful lot of luck against K-State. Anyway.
Yeah. I just think by giving them more money now, what you've got in the Big Ten, or whatever we're going to call our conference, mm-hmm. the Big 12 that has 10 teams or the Big Ten that has 12 teams, whatever. Now it's going to be a fight for third place because you've just given all your money to Texas and Oklahoma, so everybody else fights for third?
You think?
That's
just money. I mean, you got to remember coaching has something to do there. Well, but you know, Snyder's been able to bring it to Texas, bring it to Oklahoma. I was present when we just kicked their tail end in the championship game.
Yeah. I hope I'm with you. I hope it continues. I've become much too cynical.
I know it, Jim. That's just a sad thing.
Yes. Now that I'm approaching middle age, I've just become quite a cynic.
Approaching middle age, yeah. That's it. So anyway, let's talk some gardening, I guess.
Gardening.
We got.
Lord knows we've had enough rain for a while, haven't we?
Oh my goodness. I guess now we got some hot weather coming. We've had lots and lots of people. Still trying to plant garden and still being frustrated because their garden's wet. We've got, of course, all of our bedding plants are buy one, get one free, the annuals, and there's still plenty of time to plant that stuff. The hanging baskets, everything is buy one, get one. And then we have folks worried about their lawns. We're seeing all of this brown patch now starting to show up in the fescue lawns. I've been preaching on it for 2 or 3 weeks. We've talked about get that fungicide
out
there.
Yeah, as I understand it, because Lynn Holquist touched on that last week as well. He did a nice job, by the way.
Good, thank you.
But brown patch, if we haven't seen it yet, we're not going to have it?
No, well, that's not necessarily true. This last week of round of rains could bring it. It just depends on if it's around, if the neighbor has it, if
what's the danger point over? At what point in time can we say, well, if we don't have it yet, we're not going to have to worry about it this year?
Not till really mid-July. That's
okay.
Because it's really active when the grass is really growing. The grass is, I think, still really growing here. People haven't told me that their lawn is brown and drying up. We haven't gotten the heat that will send fescue into dormancy yet. And we haven't gotten the heat that will, and the dropping of the humidity to the point where that's not a, the brown patch is not a problem. So there's still a lot of danger out there, especially for lawns that are in protected areas where the wind doesn't blow and dry it out, where it goes overnight with wet feet, so to speak.
When you see brown patch starting, what do you do?
Immediately. I mean, and if your lawn just gets a little off color, it's so much, it takes half as much chemical to do a preventer than to attack it. So yeah, if you see it at all, you got to double the rate that you were spraying previously. You know, it's a liquid. You got the Fertilome systemic fungicide. That's Banner, which is the name of the chemical that's the fungicide that's in it. Very good, but you have to double the rate. We have the F-stop, which is a granular that you can also use, but you have to put it down double the rate. So you've just doubled your cost by waiting. Mm-hmm. And so you don't really wait till you see it. You just presume that if you had it last year, you're going to have it again this year. No question about it. You just have to be out there as a preventer.
Okay. All right. So if you've had it last year, you treated it last year, but it will come back?
It will be back.
How do you eventually get rid of it?
Well, by using preventer. If you stay ahead of it and prevent its inception, then this year, then you're less apt to have it next year. But you'd still use a preventer. If you can go and keep it prevented, if you can do that for a couple of years running, and it's your neighbors have done the same, basically, then you know that you're going to be safe for a while. But it's until they've developed a fully tolerant fescue to brown patch and or blue and ryegrass that's resistant, you just have to watch it in this neighborhood. Of course, if we get into a dry year, dry cycles, some dry cycle years, then you don't see it near as much. But you know, it's been wet, three wet summers now in a row.
Okay, all right. So once it develops, it's going to take 2 years. Yeah. At the least, to mm-hmm. get rid of it.
Right.
1 year to somewhat control it, the next year if by you, coming yeah. back,
right.
then and, the third year you ought to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Nancy was reading about a new grass that's being developed. Wanted me to ask you about it. It's a new fescue that she saw advertised somewhere, some national publication, maybe K-State, I don't know. You only have to mow once or twice a year.
It's a fescue?
It's a fescue.
Well, there are some dwarf fescues out there that are being developed with that in mind. And
now, this particular one, she said, that if you've got kids or dogs, this fescue, it's not a real hardy grass
right.
where it'll take a lot of foot traffic.
No, right. It's That's correct. It's because any of that, now that's just what I was getting ready to say, any dwarf fescue has a corresponding dwarf root system, so it doesn't have that toughness, that resilience to come back. So the traffic takes longer to establish, of course, and then it's not as friendly to being walked on. It still makes a nice lawn. The trick is, of course, getting it to tolerate the really high heat that we have here and adapting watering practices to that grass as well, because since it is shallow rooted, it's going to take more frequent watering, less water, more frequently. But
if you've got a commercial business,
yeah,
Dave Jackson, to where you're trying to create this very, very attractive, curb appeal, pulling up to, you know, a commercial business, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
and you've got this patch of lawn, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to have any foot traffic on it. Wouldn't that make sense?
Presuming they stay on the sidewalk.
Yeah, but something like that, it would appear this would be a huge potential seller because maintenance is going to be so low. You mow it twice in the summer. That's it. Is it developing into a huge seller? When somebody...
It's not there yet in terms of being dark green enough. It's not durable. It's a long way off before it's going to work here.
So commercially, it's not a biggie for Jackson's greenhouse. It's
not
too early in the game.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We're in the transition zone between warm season and cool season grasses.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be more successful north of here, east of here, where
Omaha, Lincoln.
Yeah,
we'll see them develop this grass before we will here in Topeka.
Right, because there's less of a challenge to grow it.
Okay.
It's going to be Minnesota. Northern Illinois and down in that area, where it's going to be way more successful. It's going to be more of a challenge to grow it here than anything, unless they're able to make some huge leaps in genetics and get that But, I mean, even still, you're faced with that shallow root system and the high heat and the wind that we have here that's going to just make it a challenge to keep it nice in the challenging parts of the year, mid-July and August. It'll just be tough.
So, folks, don't expect to hear a lot about this grass for the next couple of years.
You may, I mean,
in the Topeka area.
Right. Well, you may hear it, you know, in the Parade magazine or these other places that advertise these wonder grasses that really aren't. It could be a part of that deal, but there's.
Well, if it's a publication like that, I'm sure that's where Nancy heard about it.
You think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it wasn't a local ad or a local article.
Right.
So the wonder grasses aren't quite what they're cracked up to be.
Not at all. They're just another scam. We talk about scams, but this is one of them. They sell you that miracle, what was it called? Miracle Alaska grass or something like that. Well, it's just not. It's just some existing mixes of some really cheap grasses that you really don't want to mess with. So anyway.
Okay. When you see an ad like this, call Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 232-3416.
Right. I try to keep
a lowdown on.
Right. I try to keep a copy of those ads that come out, and that they're supposed to, under federal law, somewhere in that ad, the tiniest print possible, divulge what the really mix is. And that's what tells the story then.
Is there any state, Dave Jackson, that has a law on the books where you can't mail this live plant into a state? I know Arizona used to have some pretty strict rules and regs as far as bringing, you know, foreign plants into their state. But what about Kansas? Do we have anything on the books that says, you know, if this ad's running out of Portland, Oregon, sending, you know, this plant, this whatever it may be, into the state of Kansas? Are there any rules and regs on the books?
There are, and they're not. For all states, Hawaii has to have a certification to take anything out of Hawaii. You have to have it inspected by the USDA. Anything, any live plant or fruit or anything else has to be inspected before it can go out. So,
really?
To any other state, right.
What disease would you be taking out of Hawaii?
Oh, my gosh. Banana virus. There's all...
All kinds
of stuff they have over there because of the weather. So, anyway.
But bringing something into a state, what do we have on the list of Kansas?
You're not to... anything that's brought into the state has to have a phytosanitary license supposedly attached to it.
Have a what?
Phyto. Phyto. Sanitary license that it's been inspected, or that facility that it comes from has been inspected, and it's disease-free. You're supposed to have that. Whatever nursery sells it to you is supposed to have that.
So we have a reciprocal with most states then, dealing with this Phyto certificate?
Right. From time to time, we'll have a quarantine on a certain state from some of the stuff that they bring in. For example, Tennessee. We couldn't bring trees in there for a while because the state hadn't controlled their Japanese beetle. Well, we maintained that until, of course, all the states... Missouri now has Jap beetle really bad, and we just couldn't. You just had to acknowledge that it's coming. So that's it. Things change from time to time by regulation.
Well, acknowledging something's coming, that would be a break. Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, each and every Friday from 10 to 11. Jim.Cates at cjonline.com. If you've got a question or a comment, we'll be back.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Freudenhaus, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Fossa line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
And we are back. Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Lawn and garden tips. That's going to be the topic for the next 20 minutes or so. So, again, if you have a question.
We might have to go overtime. I don't know here.
We've done that before. We have indeed. Okay, we've talked about, you know, plants coming in. And, folks, anytime you see one of these ads, which Nancy did a few days ago on this dwarf fescue, never have to mow or mow once or twice over the course of the summer, which had some appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would to a lot of people.
Right.
Especially if I was a business owner, mm-hmm. you know, in a low traffic area. But again, when you see ads like this, folks, call Jackson's Greenhouse and find out what these ads are all about.
Tell us where you found the ad or saw it so we can look it up or go on the internet or on online and see what it is that they're really talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, because with the internet now, people come in and ask us about plants that we've never heard of or seen or whatever that they've seen advertised, and it's we can quickly go online and see what it is really that's happening. Mm-hmm. And of course, these box stores so many times will bring in a plant that they say is perennial. Well, it is perennial, but you have to live in Houston for it to come back up next year. I mean, so and we had a customer in yesterday, a friend of mine that was in looking for Esperanza. Well, the reason was it was a beautiful plant last year that he'd planted that he'd gotten somewhere. And, of course, didn't come back this year. Mm-hmm. So it was in his landscape, so he was looking to replace it. But
Esperanza, we're too far north.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. And, again, he bought that. A box store had that for sale?
Sure. Oh, yeah. They bring their stuff in from the south, the Georgia, and whatever. They have longer seasons, cheaper growing, lower labor costs, and all of those kinds of things. And they ship that stuff in and sell it as if, and it'll be clearly marked perennial.
But you would think, you know, that over the long haul, that would cost them business.
Well, what they know is that 80% of the people don't keep their receipts.
Yeah.
And never return.
You'll still have the memory, though, of buying that plant that is now dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd be going someplace else.
Doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, I guess not.
I mean, because they have the big garden centers out there with their supposedly certified nursery people. At least Lowe's claims to have certified nursery people, by whom it's not clear. It's certainly not certified by the Kansas Nurserymen's Association. They're not nursery people. They don't know what 90% of them don't know what they're talking about.
What's the biggest problem when you go to a box store? you know, looking for lawn and garden supplies, in your opinion?
The biggest problem, of course, is that there's absolutely no knowledgeable service people there. People go in and get pay money, good money, for soil or for chemicals that they have no business using or that are completely ineffective for what they're trying to do, and they just don't have any idea unless you read the label. Well, reading labels on insecticide bottles is really not light reading, and of course, so they buy chemicals that aren't going to address their situation or their problem, so that's the biggest problem. Of course, timing, you know, if you're going to buy plants there, you need to get there right after the truck's been there so that you get fresh plants and plants that have been properly cared for. But then the problem is that you don't know if that plant's been treated then with a growth regulator where it's not going to grow or do anything for the next 3 weeks, because we've talked about this on the show before, mm-hmm. is that these outfits have all adopted pay by scan. The grower doesn't get any money unless that product is scanned out of the register. And so it doesn't matter if he's delivered a semi-load of stuff, if he only sells half of that semi, that's all he's going to get paid for. If they throw the rest away, he's not going to get but half of his money.
Really? That's putting a lot of trust into some of these individual stores.
Right. But and then what that's brought then is that the wholesaler or whatever, the plant seller, has to bring in his own people then on a weekly basis or whatever to clean and take care of his own plants after they're there. So they have to work that into the formula for pricing. Yeah. Otherwise, he's going bankrupt. And, of course, you saw that with Dillon's this year. Kroger decided they were going to go to pay by scan, and the people that own Kaw Valley Growers in Manhattan, Kansas, had always been the Kroger supplier in this region, decided that no, they weren't going to do that. They weren't going to go along with it. So Dillon's went with a totally different vendor, and Kaw Valley Growers set up their own places to sell plants from. In North Topeka, it was right there in front of Walmart along Highway 24. In South Topeka, it was there where the grocery store at 29th and Fairlawn went out of business, in that parking lot.
Now, who's doing this again?
Kaw Valley Growers from Manhattan. And they set up 50 or 60 of these little plant stands all over the state where they had markets before.
Yeah, and that's where they have the signage on their tents, 50% off, and that signage is starting to fade.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's kind of a scam, in my opinion.
Well, they started with a 50% off. They started the day after Memorial Day.
But, I mean, that's a permanent 50% off. Nothing ever changes.
Well, that's their clearance price, and so.
Yeah.
I don't know how much longer they'll have their places open. They may go to 75% for one final week off, something like that, so that they don't have to haul it home. But it doesn't look to me like they sold an awful lot in the North store, but I could be wrong. I mean, we drive by it all the time, never saw more than one or two cars in the parking lot. Didn't look good to me.
Well, I've seen the one, you know, 29th and Fairlawn, very familiar with it. It sits on the northeast corner. And mm-hmm. the thing that's troubled me, because I'm in Westlake Hardware quite a bit,
uh-huh.
And the thing that's troubled me about this 29th and Fairlawn location, there's no signage up identifying who these people are.
Really?
And if they had the signage, you know, at Kaw Valley, Manhattan, Kansas, it would lend a lot more credibility to the operation,
sure.
rather than coming into a location like that with zero signage other than 50% off. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the only signage you see.
Really?
Nothing to identify who they are.
Hmm.
Now, there's no way in God's green earth I would stop by there.
Well, I understand. Sure.
Well, I wouldn't stop by there because I shop at Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, folks, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road or 61st and Fairlawn. But I think there would be a lot of people possibly that would see it, and it just appears to be they could be the most honest, reputable people in northeast Kansas. But it appears to be fly-by-nightish when you don't identify who you are, in my opinion.
Well, it certainly would have, I don't know whether they're not out to build their name or not, but it certainly would have been, it's a good comment. They really need to stress what they are. But anyway, they're not. They're good growers, good folks. I know. I've known them for a long time. But anyway.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but they ought to be proud of their name. Proud mm-hmm. enough to have some signage out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's costing them business. When we come back, let's talk about weekend
sure.
specials at Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Let's do that. We'll be back. Stay tuned, folks.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Devil Specs, Feudenhaus, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Foss line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
And we're back. Dave Jackson, we've got 10 minutes. Let's talk about some of the weekend specials at Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center.
Well, actually, they're more than weekend. These go all the way through the week. They started Wednesday in the Capital Journal with the ad, which you forgot.
I did.
Me too.
I did.
I didn't have an extra copy. My sometimes my help brings it in and hangs it up, and then I have a copy. But
yeah.
Right now, we always hang my copy of the ad right behind the cash register, so there's never any question. But anyway, it's buy one, get one free on all of the bedding plants, the annual bedding plants, the veggies, the geraniums, the proven winners, all of the proven winners. Those are the premium annuals that are in the pots for $279 or $379. You know, we're already at $379 each. We're already priced under Walmart and those places that typically are at $449 for that same pot. But we're... Of course, you buy one, get one free, so you're looking at $1.90 for a nice 4.5-inch potted annual. And even if they're at half price, they're still at $225. So we're less money than they are, plus it's homegrown. And hanging baskets are on sale. All of our planters, the gorgeous planters, are on sale. and you know, mixed planters that you can put on your patio. We're still running the, we got that special group of trees. We've got about 250 trees on sale for 40% off that we got from Greenleaf Growers down in Oklahoma that they were clearing out a plot. They needed to make some space, and they gave us some great prices, and we're passing that right on. Carpet roses, if you buy three, they're 25% off. We have easily a couple hundred carpet roses there in all what is it, seven colors that carpet roses can be in. We've got all the colors available, and which carpet roses are a ground cover type rose. If you don't want something as tall as the knockouts, then the carpet rose will be a one that only reaches about 18 inches tall, where knockouts are going to be 3 to 4 feet tall. They're going to be an upright shrub type rose. Of course, we've got literally hundreds of the...
How do carpet roses sell?
How do they
sell? In comparison to your knockout roses.
Well, they're much more expensive. They're like $33. And see, with the knockouts, at least until July the 1st, we've been able to buy the plants and put them in our own gallon containers and sell them for anywhere from $11 to $14. So that's naturally you're going to sell way more of those roses. The 2 gallon roses have been at like $21.99. The 3 gallons are $29.99. So it's a the knockouts are the ones that have gotten all of the press.
Well,
lately.
The knockouts, that's what you would need for safety and security, if that's the reason you were buying them.
Well, for example, I mean, or if you just wanted a hedge anywhere that you wanted, that you wanted a colorful hedge, that's what they're for. But if you're going to put
something under that bedroom window,
that's a good, yeah, that's
that
a great plant for that. Yeah, if it's a south or west facing window, that'd be great for lots of color. And, of course, they come in lots of colors, so you can pick out some color that'll go with your house or your plantings. They come in white to dark red with shades of reds and pinks and yellows in between. So they're a great rose. Have been the renovation of the rose industry, kind of, because it's actually enlightened the roses' interest in the rest of the roses now. So, it's been good for the rose business.
Okay, and that's the big seller.
The knockouts probably sell more than any. Right now, there's better shrub roses out there than knockouts. The Easy Elegant series from the Bailey Nurseries in St. Paul, Minnesota. They're more winter hardy still. They have darker green foliage, nicer flower, more scent. More aromatic, bigger flowers.
Longer-lasting flower.
There's a 2-year warranty on those. But, again, they're expensive. They're $34.99. But they, they're altogether a much nicer rose than the knockouts. But, I mean, if you're doing it as a landscape rose where you're planting them in masses, maybe you don't need that. Mm-hmm. But the higher quality is Easy Elegance, no question about it. In terms of a carefree rose and one that...
Now, the knockout roses, where are they coming from, you say?
Where are they coming from?
They're not coming out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, are
no,
they?
No. Well, those folks with the Baileys do grow some of those, but no. Conard Pyle is the developer of the knockout name and has done just a marvelous job of marketing it. And you got to take your hat off to them.
Out of where?
Conard Pyle? North Carolina, originally.
Okay.
But, I'm not sure. These outfits have gotten so big and gotten away from me, and they merge and change hands and all of those kinds of corporate things. It's in horticulture as well as all the other industries.
The shipping costs are getting so expensive, you know, to ship something from Minneapolis, St. Paul, compared to shipping something out of North Carolina. I would think Minneapolis, St. Paul could do it a whole lot.
Well, the deal is, though.
A whole lot cheaper.
They license growers all over the United States. They're not the grower. They're the developer. It's all about branding, and it's all about patent fees and licensing fees. That's where the money is at.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
It's just part of the new scene in horticulture.
So your business is changing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it used to be that we'd be buy $2,500 or $3,000 worth of seed and we'd be in business for the year. Now we have to buy branded, patented cuttings that also come with their patented stake, has to have that in it. And so our upfront costs for plants and product is well in excess of $60,000 just to start the plants, just to have the little babies come in, that kind of stuff.
Good night. Wow. No way to get around it.
Not legally, because they do send out the patent police. If you try to propagate their patented products, they will come in and fine you. They will come in and make you throw away everything that you've done. That's the way it works.
Now, the patent police are out of a federal agency.
No, no. They're not a federal. They're a contract, private contracted outfit that those people pay then to monitor the activity on their roses or whatever, not even roses. They did catch a big grower that was illegally propagating knockouts here just last month.
Really?
Example. Yeah.
Here in Kansas?
No, no. No, there's no, we don't have any big fish in Kansas to speak of compared to the really big fish. No, this was a big grower in Texas, I think.
But if it's becoming that expensive, are you taking a look at getting back into more growing?
More growing. What do you mean?
As far as, rather than buying a lot of these starter plants, originating everything here.
Well, but you have to buy the starter plants. There's only licensed growers that can sell those to you. So, you don't have the choice. You have to have that little plant because it's a vegetative cutting. There's not a seed that you can buy.
Okay.
So anyway, with that note, anyhow, that's hopefully the folks will get out and see us. We've got.
And again, let's talk about 61st and Fairlawn. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Right.
They got a change.
And we're looking at making a change here, either next week or the week following. We'll be open 7 days a week out there soon.
Within the next 30 days.
Within the next 30 days. We also hope to have two of our greenhouses set up out there within the next 30 days.
Wow.
To be able to provide a little better protection for some of the plants that we bring out. Bring out a larger selection of perennials, more perennials, and more chemicals, more of the Fertilome line. We'll just try to keep expanding out there as best we can. And make it a more complete business. The trick is staying in compliance with the zoning laws out there and the Shawnee County Zoning Department.
Folks, you got to check it out. Again, we're talking about 61st and Fairlawn, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Absolutely drop-dead gorgeous out there. And you can give Jackson's call anytime, 7 days a week, 232-3416, for any of your lawn and garden questions. There's always somebody at the other end that's there to help you. These are the professionals of the business. We will see you next Friday, Dave. And, folks, we'll be back with you Monday morning. Have a great, great weekend. I'm Jim Cates.